It's February. Wow. Amazing. We've realized over the years of leading these reflections and seeking God's guidance in doing so that there's a rhythm of sorts that has become part and parcel to who we are. We begin our year with a focus on the prayerful practice of the core way of being, of prayerfully present to God, to self, to one another. And we move into the prayerful practice of attentiveness, another core way of being within the upward, inward, among, and outward journey with Christ. And these soul movements, as we practice them, along with disciplines like Lectio Divina, Examen, Confession, they help to draw us into a deeper awareness of who we really are. That true self nature of who we are becoming, that being made holiness of soul transformation at work. God, through the Holy Spirit, at work within us. Within us and within the lives of one another. Sometimes, hopefully every time, but not necessarily on Tuesday nights, I get the opportunity to watch one of my favorite TV shows. It's called HGTV, and it is on, it's called Fixer Upper, and it's on HGTV. And I love it for lots of reasons. One of the reasons I love it is it takes place in Waco, Texas, the town where my alma mater is, Baylor University, and the two folks who host the show, Chip and Joanna Gaines, are graduates of Baylor. So it's really fun for me to watch from that standpoint. But I also love what they do in the show. They take an old rackety, yuckety fixer-upper house that they have shown to a buyer, and they fix it up. And within an hour's time, it is transformed. And I love that. I love that it can go from being so ramshackle that no one would want to live in it to this place of transformation. To the point that the new homeowners exclaim, it doesn't even look like the same house. That's really something. In 1 hour, right? Well, I want that kind of transformation in my interior house. I want it to be a quick fix. A now and then, not so much a before and after, yes, right now. I want that transformation. The it doesn't even look like the same house kind of transformation. But that's not God's economy. God's economy involves a lot more than that. A lot more of a transformation and a process of transformation. But as I learn this practice of authenticity, as I walk on the path toward God in the midst of my desire to be more of who He's making me to be, I'm more able to claim David's words in Psalm 139. And I will tell you, this psalm has over and over and over again throughout my life in Christ blessed me. God continues to use it. I particularly love Eugene Peterson's translation where he says, oh yes, you shaped me first inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life, all prepared before I'd even lived one day. When I was a little girl, my mom would occasionally refer to me as a ragamuffin. And later, in my young adult life, I got to read a book by Brennan Manning called The Ragamuffin Gospel. It really ministered to me. It's funny, on Monday night, I gave this same reflection, and a number of folks afterwards asked me, "Mary, what is a ragamuffin?" So this is the definition. A grimy, dirty, little urchin or waif with greasy hair. What's amazing about that word to me is it's endearing. My mom referred to me as a ragamuffin with a little giggle. And I knew deep down that no matter how much of a ragamuffin I was, she loved me anyway. It's the same realization of being loved anyway that David can say, I want to be like an open book to you. And that's my desire too, as I reach toward this process, this road of transformation, being made holy with God. There's something so comforting to me about David. He wasn't a quick learner. He'd get it, then he wouldn't, then he'd get it again, then he wouldn't. He too was such a ragamuffin, aren't we all? Perhaps that awareness is part of what brings us together as journey mates. I've realized over the years of my own spiritual formation that the fruit of seeking to live out of my life in Christ authentically is more trust in the Holy Spirit who guides me, who guides us, to notice and name the false voices, and in my case, the masks of performance and shame. Recently, I've been revisiting places in my life where this journey of being authentic with God and with myself, with others, really got going. This is a reunion year for me, 25 years out of college and 30 years out of high school. And in October, Jason and our boys and I went to Baylor for my college reunion. It was nearly 10 years ago since I'd walked that campus. And as we did, I was flooded with memories of being that young girl from Wyoming in Texas in the 80s. Yes, big hair and big bows and lots of makeup and feeling completely out of place, not knowing anyone, the insecurities, the social pressure, intense feelings of loneliness and cries for belonging, ups and downs, arounds and throughs, to say nothing of the dark places of disappointment, disillusion, of desperation. Amid the very faint sense of joy and hope for home, it was quite a time in my life. I want us to move into a bit of an experiment together. More of a practice, really, of what we call in Journey Mates three-way listening. We listen to God. We listen to ourselves, what is happening in here. And we listen to each other. And that process of three-way listening happens in our sharing, it also happens in our response. And really within the whole process of our companioning together. So I'm going to share with you a little authentic piece of my life in Christ and the now and the present and what's going on with me. And I do so with a little bit of risk. I'll admit that. But I do so with trust. Some of you are my closest friends. And so I put it out there to you. Listen. On our self-guided tour around the Baylor's campus with my boys and Jason, we landed at our destination, though I wasn't really aware it was our destination until we got there and climbed the steps to the old historic Carroll Science Building. Don't let the name fool you. I was not a scientist. Carroll Science stands among many newer buildings on campus as one of the few original structures that was built in the late 1880s. It now and for decades has housed the School of English. We walked in the big oak doors and I noticed so little had changed. The nameplates on my favorite professor's office doors were different. But otherwise, it looked much the same as it had when I was there as a young student. The smells, the sounds, so much the same. Tears begin to come as I reached back. In some ways, became again that girl at the end of her sophomore year. Fresh from the battle of bulimia with a reignited passion and faith for Christ, for serving his kingdom. I transferred from the School of Business where I was almost kicked out and literally gave blood in order to pass an economics class. Extra credit. Yep, that was me. And I was very kindly questioned if that was the place for me. And then I was very kindly ushered into considering the School of English by a lit teacher I had had in my freshman year. Mary, have you ever thought about teaching? That moved me into the School of English with the anticipation of teaching overseas. And there God met me in my love for literature and a heart that yearned for transformation and healing. As we walked around the building, I peered into the classrooms, stroked the old oak-lined hallways and often doors, remembered those dear professors who had ministered to me in such profound ways. And as the tears came of gladness, of joy, of remembering that girl I once was, I thanked God. So much had changed. And I heard my son, one of the boys, saying to Jason, "Hey, what's the matter with Mom? She's having a moment," said Jason. Indeed. Out of that time came a really sweet session with my spiritual director. And the question, if I could, if I could speak to that girl of 25 years ago, myself, then, what would I say to her? now. I want you to take a shift. Shift your focus from me to what's happening in you. What happens in you as you listen to my story? How does it connect with your life, those you love? Then think back in time to your life, 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, whatever the number, years ago. What would you say to the person you were then? Just be there with God. What do you notice? Now shift your attention to God. What do you notice about Him? What do you notice about Him in relationship to me, to what you've just heard me share with you? What do you notice about yourself? As part of this Journey Mates community, we have covenanted together to practice these core ways of being present, attentive, and authentic with ourselves, with one another, in our time together, and in our time out there. That's our hope. And it's our hope and expectation that in Journey Mates, we would find a safe place of trust and confidentiality, where we are free to be ourselves, to open up to God with our truest self, to open up to ourselves with our truest self, and then to one another, just as we are, without pretense or performance. And in the process of trusting God and one another, we make space to put it out there and to offer to God and to one another that authentic piece of who we are in Him. This covenant, this intention, fuels our sharing, what we share, how we share, and our response, how we respond, what we respond with. And in the prayerful process of companioning, we realize it's going to look different for each Journey Mate companion. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, unique from start to finish, ragamuffins, fixer-uppers, sharing honestly about our lives. For some, showing up is their offering of authenticity. Showing up is their vulnerable place. For others, tears are going to flow, hearts are going to be expressed, hard questions of life, faith, and belief, maybe even theology, are going to be pursued. Being authentic with one another means honoring the reality that each of us are fearfully and wonderfully made, both in the already, the right now, and in the not yet of life in Christ. And in this process of transformation that we notice in ourselves and we may notice in one another, we make an offering of our trust to God. And that's tough work. This is not normal. Journey Mates communities represent various Christian traditions, churches, life experiences, life stages, and points of view on all sorts of things. We may see areas in each other's lives and their theology and their interpretations that we do not agree with. We might feel challenged by them or compared to. We might want to redirect or mentor, teach, fix, rescue. We may recognize in a small group companion a place we've already been and feel like we need to tell our own story to help them on their path. That's my challenge. I always have a story in my back pocket. It takes good listening and discernment to know when to speak and when to simply hold our companion in God's trusting presence. But here, in this place, with journey mates, we covenant together to honor God's image in our fellow companions and with humility to trust God's hand, the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in the greater church community. In doing so, we put our own agendas aside and our needs or our tendencies. We accept one another as we are, and we wait with expectation of transformation as we trust God. His journey for them. And we trust the greater church that He will use them in ways that He doesn't use journey mates in their lives. But He does use this ministry. We don't want to circumvent the process that God has our companions on. And so we listen. As we listen for our responses. And we do so with vulnerability, with honesty, with humility. And as we risk to put our response out there, we trust God to use it or not. That is up to Him. And sometimes we won't trust God. Sometimes we will speak because we just want to be heard. Sometimes we just cannot hold back. And when the temptation is too much for us and we become aware that our response, something we've said, some way we've looked, something, whatever it is, wasn't motivated by our own sense of God's voice, but by a sense of our own need. When that awareness comes, we address it in our time of small group reflection. That 10 or 15 minutes at the end of our small group companioning time, where we are free to speak honestly about our time together. We go there with one another, knowing that we are all on the road together. We don't call this journey mates for nothing. We meet each other in our shared intention to be authentic with God, with ourselves, and with one another. We honor that when we're honest about our failings, about our questions, about our distractions, and we get better as groups. The intention matters. The covenant matters. And though we don't understand everything that happens here in Journey Mates, so much of it is beyond our understanding. We know that we can trust God. Amen.